we had this conversation in Sunday school today. How many of you have ever heard, other than the people that were in Sunday school today, have heard the term UBI? UB, Bravo. Uniform Bravo India for you. How many of you have ever heard of a 15-minute city? One of you. How many of you heard that AI is going to take all your jobs away? I asked Sunday school class this morning, this is becoming, you may not know yet how much artificial intelligence is already out there in the world. How many of you have ever heard of Neuralink? How many of you have heard of, what are the Meta glasses? This stuff is all out there, and it's where we're headed. It's going, and I said, I don't know, I'm not up here. A year and a half or so ago, I did a bunch of teaching on like artificial intelligence and political things that were going on and end time stuff. Does anybody recall that at all? Well, let me tell you, in a year and a half or whatever, artificial intelligence has, exponentially increasing. And it's already super involved in our lives, and we probably don't even really realize it and where it's headed. And I said, I don't know that this is the end time, but as I mentioned back then, my point was, for the first time, I always wondered, these things that we read about in the Bible, how can they happen? How can these end time events, it doesn't make sense how all this is possible. Well, with the advent of technology and artificial intelligence, I see where it's possible. With technology and the way the world is connected nowadays, and when you hear the motivations of the people behind these things, not only technologically is it possible, but you see that there are people who actually want it to happen. What we look at as an end time scenario, as not being good, they are racing towards it. They want it. Okay? And so I was saying in Sunday school this morning, I don't know if I should just, should I and other Christian teachers just start up, should we just stand up here and just flat out oppose it and say have nothing to do with it? Or do we realize it's coming and it isn't going to be stopped? And what do you do about that? Because folks, it is coming and it cannot be stopped. But then you know what? That is not a defeatist attitude. Saying that the effects of artificial intelligence can't be stopped is not a defeatist attitude. It's biblical. Because we all know the world does come to an end, right? In a final 7-year period that we often call, is known as the tribulation and all the events of it. It's not to be defeatist. It's to inform us about what to be looking for and how to kind of deal with it. And what I was asking in Sunday school, and you're showing it now, is there's a lot that's going on that people aren't aware of. And I get that. I probably pay too much attention to it. It's the kind of thing that will keep you up at night. It's the kind of thing that will make you, but we need to know, because people have lives, amen? People have to go to work, they have to pay their bills, they gotta take care of family, you gotta mow the lawn and buy groceries and fix the leak in the plumbing and on and on, right? So I get that a lot of people don't follow it, but what I want to do this morning, and I wasn't, like I said, I was down here like, should I do this week, or should I prepare more and let people know I'm going to do it, but it's burning in me right now, so I guess I'm going to do it. We are rapidly approaching, now, this may not affect a lot of us, okay? Because we are not who they're targeting anymore, because we are a somewhat chronologically advanced group of people, okay? In other words, we're not 15, we're not 25, okay? That's so much of where it's the target of so much of what's going to end up happening, because they're being conditioned to accept so much of the technology and the giving up of freedoms that when it comes, that in another generation, when it's this stuff is fully implemented, they won't even notice it, that they've lost their freedom, because we already have. There's a story. Is this in Minneapolis? The Shiloh, what she's being charged for her speech, and she may end up going to jail for words. Okay, now I'm not going to go into the details of the. This happened something like 6 months or so ago, and I believe it's Minneapolis. She was in a park. She had a confrontation with another couple people from a child stealing something out of her child's diaper bag that she had, and they got in a confrontation, and she said some not so nice words to the people, and she could go to jail for it. Now, we think that is completely insane, because the most primary issue that our founders enshrined for us was what? Freedom of speech. Everything else depends on freedom of speech, because speech needs to be protected. The only speech that needs protected is speech that is offensive or disagreeable, right? Nobody is bothered if I say what you want me to say. Nobody is bothered by saying things that we agree with. It's like Jesus. I always say, Jesus didn't die on the cross for all the things we did right. Right? Correct? He died for the things I did wrong. Because people will say, well, I don't have to forgive them because they really did do something wrong to me. Yeah, right. I know. You still forgive them because Jesus died on the cross for the things that we did that were wrong, not for the things we did right. Speech only needs protected if it's offensive or disagreeable. And that was enshrined as the number one primary thing. And we now live in a time where a woman may go to jail for words. And a lot of people in this country, here's the big thing, are okay with it. And think she should, because what she said was really mean and hurtful. And it was. It was mean and hurtful. But we don't lock people up for that. And the fact that people think that it's okay, because we're being conditioned. And like I said, it may not affect us, but the people coming up after us is going to, and they won't even notice it. So I'm going to be kind of all over the place here probably, but artificial intelligence is coming. It's going to take away a lot of jobs. It already is doing a lot of work, okay? It's just going to, and a lot of it's going to be labor, you know? What we call blue-collar stuff, manufacturing and those kind of things. But folks, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be, I see legal and medical professions being hit big time. AI is already diagnosing a lot of illnesses at a way higher accuracy than doctors are. And I have to admit, with my frustration with the so-called scientific and medical profession over the last five, 6 years, I'm actually kind of happy to see somebody can finally diagnose something, because it seems like something that doctors have almost lost the ability to do lately. Am I the only one that's had doctor's experiences like that? So you think, well, that's good. But the problem is people need to have a reason to get up in the morning. They need to have purpose in their lives. They need to earn an income. They need to go out and interact with other people. So, people in power that are pushing this development of technology and artificial intelligence, they want it because it will make them and their corporation so much more wealthy. They're not concerned about everybody just getting along as the human race, okay? In fact, I showed a video back at that time when we were talking about this stuff by a man named Yuval Harari. And he referred to all these people that would be displaced and out of jobs. What are we going to do when all of a sudden, literally a third of the American population is out of work? Oh, okay. You want to play it?
In the Industrial Revolution of the 19th century, what humanity basically learned to produce was all kinds of stuff, like textiles and shoes and weapons and vehicles. And this was enough for very few countries that underwent the revolution fast enough to subjugate everybody else. What we're talking about now is like a second industrial revolution, But the product this time will not be textiles or machines or vehicles or even weapons. The product this time will be humans themselves. We are basically learning to produce bodies and minds. Bodies and minds are going to be, I think, the two main products of the next wave of all these changes. And if there is a gap between those that know to produce bodies and minds and those that do not, then this is far greater than anything we saw before in history. And this time, if you're not part of the revolution fast enough, then you probably become extinct. Once you know how to produce bodies and brains and minds, so cheap labor in Africa or South Asia or wherever, it simply counts for nothing. Again, I think that the biggest question in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people. I don't think we have an economic model for that. My best guess, which is just a guess, is that food will not be a problem. With that kind of technology, you will be able to produce food to feed everybody. The problem is more boredom. And what to do with them, and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless? My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games.
Refer there to useless people, useless, worthless eaters. We'll have the food, but people will have no purpose and no meaning. Because again, what do you do if all of a sudden, as a beginning, a third of the population has no job, no reason to get up in the morning? And that number will only increase from there. And let's face it, even as much as I try to pay attention to this stuff, I'm going to be left behind, and all of us are going to be left. We're not tech people. We're not going to be, as he talks about, the people who understand how to produce. When he talks about bodies and minds, he's not talking about flesh and blood. He's talking about computer systems and the information that goes along with them. Because the people that are producing this, I got up here and started this by saying, am I like completely uninteresting you this morning? Is this completely not? Okay. I got up here by saying we are God's supreme creation. This is it. I'm sorry, I don't care how smart or how capable any technology is, it's not superior to human beings. We are created in the image of God, and God loves us, and we are the only entity in this universe that God redeemed. These people believe that artificial intelligence is greater than us, and they want it. Okay? So, I mentioned this morning too, if you've never read, it's just a small book, it's not very long to read, you need to read, it's from the 1954, Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. It describes what he just said. And Aldous Huxley, they use all this technology, and this one came out recently. Kay, do you remember, did you see this? Designer babies. This is something we've talked about for a long time. There is a company now, and I heard an interview with the lady that heads this company where you basically can genetically engineer your child. And that is a part of Brave New World, where they genetically engineer people. They genetically engineer a certain group of the population that's just like has an IQ of 70 or whatever, and they just show up and do the work that they're supposed to do. And then you have a middle class, and then you have an upper class, and it's all genetically predetermined. Okay? They occupy people with entertainment and drugs. They have a drug that everybody takes in Brave New World. It's called Soma. And it just makes you, and you don't notice that, you live in a meaningless, empty world. This is amazing how accurate it is as to what we're seeing now. So how do we deal with this? How are they going to deal with this? Again, UBI, Universal Basic Income. It is something a lot of politicians are talking about. It's a lot of things that a lot of tech leaders are talking about. Universal basic income. Because all of this technology, it's going to generate wealth. There will be money, but you won't be out there earning it by a job. So everybody is going to have to be given a universal basic income by the government so they can go out and just live a very basic life. It's going to be a very minimalist life, but it'll be enough to get by. So at a minimum, everybody's going to get a UBI, universal basic income. Well, why do they need to do that? Because people don't have jobs. And then what? They have no meaning. They have no interaction with other people. So what do? Video games and drugs. Hey, jump in any time here if you want, Kate, if I mean, make some connections. I mean, I know you follow this stuff too, so that's why I'm saying. Okay. So there's a lot. They're genetically engineering people now. The thing is now it's being put out commercially. This lady I heard in the company that she heads up, they are going, if you will, commercial with it, offering it as a service that people can pay for. Neuralink is an Elon Musk. I believe he was the one that heads it up and started it. They're now getting to the place that they are implanting chips in people's brains without killing them, because that happened for a while, where it was killing monkeys or whatever. But there are people that are living with Neuralink implanted, and it's helping them overcome what we used to think about the old bionic man. Well, it's not bionics in that regard so much, but it's connecting previously destroyed nerve paths and things like that and helping them to function, whether it's communicate or operate, you know, if they've had some kind of paralysis or injury that's limited them. Neuralink is now being able to help them do that. Meta is now the glasses you can buy, and you're getting all this information right you put your glasses on and you can see it. It's like seeing your computer screen in front of you, only it's also giving you other information. Like you'll be able to walk down the street and everybody coming at you, it'll identify them. Folks, I already got everybody's face, the government knows you. Okay? Now I go to the airport and they want to take your picture and I tell them I do not want my picture taken. And you can still decline that, but I know that it's a futile gesture because I know they already got it and they already know. It's just my little way of saying. Yeah, they know it all, believe me. You walk down the street, you'll have your glasses on, it'll tell you everything, it'll tell you every person coming at you that they see their face. But not only that, if you want, it'll tell you everything about them. It'll tell you their credit history, it'll tell you where they work, it'll tell you if they've got a criminal history, it'll tell you this, tell you about that, it'll know everything about them. And that's... So how does all this work? As I said, God is government's biggest enemy. Does anybody hear an overarching theme in what I'm saying? Control. Exactly. I was going to say loss of freedom, but it's exactly the same thing. Control. So that's what they want. Governments want control. For that matter, corporations want control. I played the clip a while back of the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, stating that they like socialistic, communistic governments because they have control, and then therefore they have predictability in the market. Almost everybody in here, if you have any kind of 401k, 403b, whatever kind of investment, you probably are invested in BlackRock. They don't want freedom of like the United States has. They want control. They love China. China's a great model because it's very predictable. Okay? That's what they want. It's giving up of freedom. Governments want control. Big corporations want control because they want predictability and they can control the market where they want. Where do I want to go? Mondani? No, he's just an idiot. He is what they want. He is a guy that swallowed the pill. Okay? She's talking about what's his first name? Mamdani? Yeah, he's running for mayor of New York City, and there's a very, very high probability that he's going to be elected. And he is a full-on Islamist socialist. And I actually kind of hope, I mean, there's a part of me that hopes that they elect him. You get what you want, you get what you voted for. And maybe, my God, someday will you learn not to vote for this stuff? I don't know, but they keep voting for it. He wants to governmentize their grocery stores in New York. How many of you would love to go to the DMV for groceries? No thanks. So that's his big plan. He's using affordability. New York is very, very expensive. So the majority of people struggle financially to get by in New York. So how does he get their vote? He's telling them, oh, I know it's so hard. We're going to attack affordability. We're going to make it more affordable for you. And all you're doing is saying, so that I can make it a little bit more affordable, a little bit easier, I'm going to give up control. I'll give up control. I'll give up control so that my life will not be as complicated and be more. But the trouble is government grocery stores, like government anything else, doesn't work. But he knows it'll sell, and it will. I mean, right now they're predicting he has like an 84% chance of being elected. The only little bit of hope I find in that is I remember that Hillary Clinton had a 92% chance of winning the election in 2016. So maybe there's a little hope in that. But on the other hand, if they get it, maybe they'll find out. Maybe they'll learn their lesson. I don't know. Back to the four. We're all invested in that. They want control. These companies, some of these companies, and the biggest, the most valuable company right now is NVIDIA, and they are in the artificial intelligence business. They have, I don't know what their market cap is right now. I know they're the biggest, and Apple and them are around $3 trillion, and they're a bit more than that. That's how much valuable. These companies have more money than most nations on the face of the earth, okay? No politician, you're not going to be able to have anybody in office that's going to withstand being bought off by these companies. Because a lot of people are saying, well, we need to regulate how AI can be used. That sounds great. Yes, you should. We would love the government and the politicians to put in regulations in place to guard, to protect us and recognize that we are supreme over technology and to protect us from what's going to happen, what's coming, but they won't. And they can't, because companies like NVIDIA and all the others, they have so much money, there is nobody they can't buy off. And there's no election they can't fix, and there's no person that they can't get into office if they want them into office to do their bidding. Now, as I said before, I'm not up here to sound doom and gloom, because we all know the world ends. I'm letting us know so you recognize what's coming. And maybe not even us, but those coming after us. I mean, let's face it, what young person now pays for anything with cash? I'm sorry, Angie, what young person? But so many, I mean, they just tap, they do their phone, they tap their card, you know, there's just everything. They don't do cash. And we have legislation currently in Congress to implement CBDC, central bank digital currency, meaning we're doing away with the dollar and that it's basically electronical, it's digital. And the trouble again with that is the government can turn your money on and they can turn it off. And they can tell you where to spend it and they can tell you where you can't spend it. And they can take it from you if you don't behave right, and on and on and on. Control. This stuff is all, it's not about what it's going to happen, it's already happening. I don't know what level of opposition to take to it. That's what I'm searching for. What level of opposition as Christians do we take to these kind of things? Let me lay out another and explain all, to try to explain all this. We think that these things happen randomly. Yes? Like what?
At BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. If you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay? You have to force behaviors. And if you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. And ultimately, it's still going to take time, but I am just as much shocked as Ken is that we have not seeing more opportunities. We're going to have to force change.
How do you force change, though? How do you do something more radical? Have you thought about that? Has the board of American Express thought about more radical things we could do to enhance diversity and inclusion?
Every citizen of the firm has to understand what is acceptable behaviors and what are unacceptable behaviors. If we are not a mirror of who our clients are, we're going to fail. You have to force behaviors. And at BlackRock, we are forcing behaviors. If you don't achieve these levels of impact, your compensation could be impacted, okay? You have to.
Right, that's Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock. And he's saying, when he's talking about their clients and stuff, they have like thousands of companies that they fund. Because they take your money, my money, from our investments, and then they take them, and then they loan out money, and of course they make money by doing that, to all these companies to do their business. But it's like, what, this company, ABC company, you're not doing the diversity, equity, inclusion stuff that we want you to. You're not handling race the way we want you to. You're not handling gender the way we want you to, so we're not going to loan you money. And then that company can't succeed, it goes out of business or whatever. That's what he's talking about, forcing behaviors. So we want to push the transgender ideology, then if you want us to loan you money, you're going to push transgenderism in your company, or else we won't loan you any money. And then the company can't do business the way they want to do business, or they may go out of business. How many of you ever got up one morning and go, you know, I really wish somebody would force me to behave in a certain way? Has any person ever said that? You understand that is directly opposite of what we as human beings want. But they don't care. They don't care. Global warming. Everybody thinks it's about the environment. It's not. Global warming, we're told we got to get rid of. What's the first thing they attacked with global warming? Does anybody know? The first big deal, what was the thing that you heard so much about? Fossil fuels, but what was the big offender? You got to get rid of your SUV, those big gas-burning, diesel-burning SUVs. You know what I can do with an SUV? I can go cross-country. I can drive through the hills and the valleys and everywhere else and get away from you, Mr. G-Man, if you're coming after me. So I got to get rid of the SUVs. I can travel in it. It's more freedom. And then they go after just the cars that are burning gas. And then they all want you into electric vehicles, right? We had the last president mandated. Now, Trump has since rescinded it, mandated that all companies would be producing electric vehicles by 2035, I think it was. Because you know what about those electric vehicles? It's just a rolling computer. And you know what can happen to a computer? We can control it. We can determine where you go, when you go, how much you go, and if you really cause us trouble, we'll just lock you in your doors and drive you over a cliff. And the next step is that they want to limit private vehicle ownership. So you don't own your own, even electric vehicle. You will order one. They will send it to you. If you're going where they want you to go, how far they want you to go, when they want you to go, to do what it is that you went for, we'll send you the vehicle. If you don't, we won't send you the vehicle. Because now they're pushing, and they have it somewhere in Europe. How many of you have heard of 15-minute cities? It's happening in Europe. Travel. You can't travel any farther than what you can go in 15 minutes. Well, guess what? If you don't own your own vehicle, and they're the ones supplying your vehicle, guess how much easier it is to control you and to keep you right there. Right. Yeah. Modular villages. What's the thing that they're building in Saudi Arabia? The line. It's called the line. It's this massive, like 100-mile long You ever see some of these futuristic movies where it looks like they're always living inside of some big structure? Even the cities are? Well, that's the line. I don't know if they've started on that yet or if they've run into, but that's the plan that was being put forth. It's this big 100-mile-long city, and everything is done interior to this structure.
We meet for the 20th. I hope I will have the pleasure still to be invited for the meeting. When we meet for the 20th Governance Summit, you will use an app like Uber, but not anymore to call some driver, but automatically guided car, a self-driven car, will come to your hotel or wherever you are and will bring you to the airport. No, Los Angeles is one of the cities with the heaviest traffic, who told me in 2030 Los Angeles will be private car driven free. And this will allow to transform highways into parks and other public spheres. We meet for the 20.
Yeah, you'll own nothing and be happy. That's the World Economic Forum's plan. But there he is talking about it. There are several cities where it is being driverless vehicles are now being allowed to be used for like taxi. What's the name of it? Do you know, remember the name of the? I forget the name of the company that's.
I know what they got used for during the riots.
They.
People called them
and ordered them, and then they set them on fire to. To block roads for ICE during the demonstrations in LA when ICE, yeah. So, but some of the cities now are allowing a certain number of these to be tested. There is no way I'm getting in a car that they can lock my doors and drive me over a cliff. It's not happening, okay? Just like I said, I'm not putting a chip in my hand that has all my information on it to give you the motive to cut my hand off so you can steal my bank account. Definitely don't put it in your forehead, okay? Yes, Trump. Okay, there are plenty of things that I'm not on board with Donald Trump about, okay? But yes, he does love big business, which pluses and minuses. But he very much is into people living their own lives and being free and having free market and all those kind of things. He doesn't. So he is the reason that Donald Trump is opposed to that so many people oppose him is because he stands as a roadblock to all this stuff. Now, there are areas he could stand more of a roadblock. He could be more of a roadblock that I don't like seeing him. He's a little too friendly with the CBDC thing. He's a little too friendly with some of these big corporations. I did a sermon a while about it back at that time. Does anybody remember me preaching about money measures your morality? How you use money determines how you're moral or not. These companies that have trillions of dollars and their employees just barely get by and they can't take a break to go to the bathroom, they got to pee in a bottle on the assembly line or whatever, you know, all this kind of absurd stuff. Well, they have yachts in order to take care of their yachts. Do you remember me showing that? Jeff Bezos. You could give these people a $3 an hour raise and their life would be so much better, and you could do without your yacht taking care of your other yacht. But they don't, because that's not what motivates them. Trump still wants to see the worker do well, and that's a problem because they don't want workers. They want useless. They want people that show up and do their job, whatever job it is. And you know why they need more parks? I thought that was really interesting. We're going to have parks instead of highways, because what are people who have no purpose in life? What are they going to do? They can go to the park. They can look at the birds, and their kids can play on the swing set because there's nothing else to do. And that way, they won't revolt. Because if they have nothing to do and there's nowhere to go, then people might actually start to rise up. It's all, I know I sound to some like an absolute whack job conspiracy theorist, but it's all intermeshed. It's all purposeful. Okay.
Governments and corporations, for the first time in history, have the power to basically hack human beings. There is a lot of talk about hacking computers, hacking smartphones, hacking bank accounts, but the big story of our era is the ability to hack human beings. And by this I mean that if you have enough data and you have enough computing power, you can understand people better than they understand themselves, and then you can manipulate them in ways which were previously impossible. And in such a situation, the old democratic system stopped functioning. We need to reinvent democracy for this new era in which humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. We need to come to terms with the fact that, no matter, again, this is where philosophy meets computer science and biology. But some...
So that's the face of pure evil. Yeah, that's highly disturbing. And here's what I'm going to tell you about that. The manipulation of us is already going on. This stuff... The thing that bothered me most about COVID was not that they did it to us. It's how many people went along with it. That was... And that wasn't an accident. They knew... This is years and years of psychological and sociological study, knowing how to manipulate us, what will get us through, what information to put out and what to withhold, how to frame it, and on to get us to do what they want us to do. Every one of us thought there is no way you could lock up Americans and tell them all to stay home and give up their freedoms. There's no way Americans would put up with that. We all believe that, and yet we did. Well, some of you did. Like I tell people all the time, it took me about 3 weeks to stop playing COVID. And said, this is all Barbra Streisand. This is all BS. All right? That's manipulating us. It's going to get a lot worse. They're already engineering and manipulating us. It's already going on. And it's only going to get worse. They need to do that to control us, to get us to do what they want us to do. And they're also, in the process of that, going back to COVID, they are trying to kill millions of us. They are trying to kill millions, if not billions, of people on this planet because less people are easier to control and they're not needed anyways. They just take resources. They're just useless eaters. Vaccines. Well, ask Africa. So Bill Gates made the statement of reducing the population using vaccines. I thought vaccines were supposed to make us healthy. Not according to Bill Gates. He's going to reduce the world's population using vaccines. And he's been doing it in Africa. And now Africa, they are going after him for murder.
And the Philippines have a warrant out for his arrest for murder.
Because they realize how many people he has killed in their countries with his so-called vaccines.
Which we're not honoring our extradition treaty.
We should extradite him in a heartbeat. So I've really given you something to look forward to as you go to the fair. Is this a waste of time? Am I wasting your time today? I heard a yes. For some of us, it is a waste of time because we're not going to be around. But there's still something in me that just pushes my buttons and makes me so angry, because I do not want my free will taken away. I do have a soul. I am God's sovereign creation, and I have a sovereign, I believe what the founders gave us, and they recognize we are sovereign human beings. The sovereign individual is the supreme being, not governments. That's why we are a government of, by, and for the people. And that's obviously not the world we live in today. What are you going to do? And I'm not going to, I don't mean to pick on you, Dale, but what are you going to do when the government says, with all the GPS and controls on your sons and grandchildren's tractors, tell them how much they can plant and where to plant it? Because we don't want to overproduce food, and we don't want to underproduce food. We want to just produce just enough, and we know what we need to feed all the useless eaters. And then of course the controlling power class, they will get their special beef and good crops, and you know, because they'll eat very elegantly. Yeah. Well, I'm not so sure that there's a big question as to how much we depend on God for rain, too, if you listen to a lot of the weather modification stuff that's out there. Anyway, I don't mean this to be a big downer, because we all know this is coming. I don't know if it's now or 1,000 years from now or 10,000. I don't know. What I know this is, for the first time in my lifetime, I see technology in place that makes it possible. And I see people behind it that want to make it possible. Now, they don't see it as the end of the world. They see it as bringing on a brave new world. Okay? But if you believe God, that's not what's coming. All right? So I'll get this up. Hopefully I can put this together decently on YouTube and get it up and get it out. And I would just, we got a lot of people gone this morning. I would share this. I mean, share it, okay? This has a good chance of being just taken off of YouTube, as I have been before, for talking about these kind of things. So anyways, I'm not pursuing a brave new world. I'm pursuing the divine world that God created and gave us. And you are an eternal being. You're God's intent for you is not this world. God's intent for you is to be with him eternally in his kingdom, not this world. But while we're in this world, we are God's divine creation. We are the supreme being in this world. And nothing, no matter how smart they make these computers. What are you doing, Dave? Let me know that reference. I don't care. We are still the supreme being in this world, and we always will be.